Welcome to Modern Practice. I'm your host, Dr. Tom Villanueva, and this episode is part three of a series of patients' attitude towards care during this COVID crisis. And joining me again is Kelly Goodson to guide us in our discussion. Kelly, let's move on to testing. I believe there were some survey questions pertaining to that.
Yes. In the December survey, we were able to ask a few more questions, and we included questions around testing and vaccines. And we asked them to rate their level of difficulty accessing COVID-19 tests. And I'll say this with the caveat that our patients and families that participate in this survey interact with healthcare quite often and could be considered a more educated consumer than maybe your average Joe. Mm-hmm. So 56% of the patients and families surveys indicated that it was either very easy or somewhat easy to access COVID-19 testing, and only 30% who said it was somewhat difficult or very difficult. And we found that when we looked deeper at that, respondents in the age group of 65 to 74 and those in rural or small communities seemed to have more difficulty than the other segments of patients that responded to the survey. But again, these folks are pretty knowledgeable consumers, so that question could be a little skewed.
So Kelly, how about where they want to get testing done? Was there any respondents towards that?
Yes, we asked them to indicate their likelihood of getting a COVID-19 test in certain settings. And we went back to the framework that we were using where we were asking about freestanding urgent care, retail clinics, physician offices, or the emergency department. And it was overwhelming, again, that patients and families want to access care through the physician's office. They want to get COVID-19 tests in that setting. And it was all about safety. And again, mitigating that risk of getting COVID-19. So the physician office was far and away the place that patients and families wanted to get their COVID-19 tests.
Okay, so now let's move on to vaccines. And my gosh, I don't have to tell you, there's lots of issues with there. So what have we learned from the survey in reference to what patients feel about the vaccine?
Yes, we were excited to add these questions around vaccines to our December survey, and we added several. So I'll go through what we learned. First, we simply asked if once the vaccine's ready and available to you, will you get vaccinated? And the vast majority of our patients and families surveyed indicated they would get vaccinated, 87%, as a matter of fact. And the older the respondent, the more likely that they were to say they would get the vaccine. Over 90% of those 65 and older indicated they'd get vaccinated. So the age group under 45 had the least highest percentage, I'll say that way. We dug into those that said no, that they didn't plan on getting vaccinated, and asked them to write in comments about why not. And so we did see that about 11% of the comments that we analyzed mentioned either conspiracy theories, personal choice, or the fact that they already had COVID. Then they also mentioned personal health risk concerns. So 27% of those comments were about past reactions to vaccines or not enough research on the effectiveness of the vaccine for their specific health condition. And then the rest of the respondents' comments came into two other buckets: a general mistrust of the process to create the vaccine, many commenting that it was rushed or it felt experimental, and then a general feeling that there's too many unanswered questions, or they wanted more information. They wanted more information on the long-term side effects, the length of immunity, some of those questions that we're all asking about.
Any questions in reference to where they want to get their vaccines placed?
Yes. We also asked how soon they would get vaccinated. And most people indicated, and it was over 50%, that as soon as it was available to them, they would get vaccinated. They also had choices on the survey that they would wait to see how those get vaccinated responded to it, which a little over 10% of the people indicated that choice. They also had the choice of, I'll wait until my doctor tells me it's safe. Again, that trusting relationship with the physician and the providers. And that was over 20% of respondents indicated that they would wait until their doctor told them it was safe to get vaccinated. And then a small portion, around 8%, said that they would wait until there's an abundance of clinical evidence that it's safe. Going back to some of the written comments, people really do want more information about the vaccine. Now, as far as where they'd like to get vaccinated, we use those same buckets of choices, including freestanding urgent care, retail retail clinics, physician office, and emergency department. And we literally had nearly 100% of patients picking physician's office. 97% of respondents said they want to get vaccinated in a physician's office.
That is interesting.
Yes, it's just incredible when you think about how we have had issues around the distribution of the vaccine. It feels like nobody asked patients and families where they want to get vaccinated. And that's why we asked this question. We sort of had a feeling about it, but this really confirmed our thoughts. I mean, it's very similar to COVID-19 testing and just accessing care in general. They want to mitigate their chance of getting COVID-19, and they don't view freestanding urgent care, retail clinics, and the emergency department as safe places to access care.
So, final question, Kelly. How has COVID changed trust in various providers, including clinicians, healthcare organizations, or even payers?
You know, for the most part, the trust that patients and families have in providers has remained about the same since before the pandemic. There was an uptick for nurses and physicians. There was an increase in trust in those professions, 34% and 31% respectively. We did ask about pharmacists who had about the same level of trust mostly, but again, a little uptick in increased trust. Hospitals and health systems were about the same as pharmacists for the most part. There was about the same level, but that's where you start seeing a bit more responses saying that there was decreased trust. Mm. And then when it came to retail clinics and payers, the decreased trust was noted a bit more. But really, for the most part, there was a good bit of patients and families that felt about the same level of trust that they had before the pandemic. You know, Tom, through these activities, we learned that the personal risk really drives patient decision making, whether they're considering elective procedures or testing or vaccinations. A one-size-fits-all approach really doesn't work for patients and families, especially in these uncertain times. Mm-hmm. Patients want to hear about the safety of healthcare services directly from their doctor, not from hospital marketing, media sources, or even friends and family. They want to hear from their doctor. They want to be able to have conversations so they can weigh the risks and benefits of accessing care. The other thing that the patients noted, especially in our focus groups, we've talked a lot about telehealth and virtual health, but the patients really want technology that meets their needs and they want it to be improved. They mentioned around the lack of visitation, if you will, or family presence that's been put in place since COVID-19 has been a real barrier to care for a lot of patients that need assistance accessing care. So they really asked us to look at those policies and those procedures so that they can have family and caregivers with them to help them access care. So again, something for the health systems to think about if they can weave that into our new way of doing things, our new safety protocols, I think they will see more patients access care. And then anything that virtually can connect families or caregivers to patients that are in the hospital who are visiting their doctor is something that patients would like to see more of, and they'd like to see more exploration of those types of technologies so they don't have to go into the hospital and risk getting COVID-19 just to check in on their loved one or family member. And I just finally like to say that by listening to patients and families, Vizient has just learned so much. And it's really imperative for our health systems to include the voice of patients and families in their strategic planning. It really can change the framework of what we're thinking of doing. And honestly, I say this a lot, the best thing that patient and family advisors can do for a hospital or a health system or a clinical practice is to keep you from going down the wrong road. Right. They often will stop you when you have an idea or want to forge ahead with something that will just be completely unacceptable to patients. So they save you time and they save you resources and even save you money when you interact with them. And they can help you make really sustainable improvements that are going to increase the experience for patients and families, as well as make it easier on providers.
All right. Thank you so much, Kelly. It's been illuminating. And to our listeners, please join us for other Modern Practice podcasts on the Vizient Medical Leadership Channel. Subscribe today, like us, or send us your comments. And please listen and subscribe to SG2 Perspectives, the podcast on the latest in healthcare strategy. I'm Dr. Tom Villanueva. Thanks for listening.